Hello, Cornelians. Welcome to another episode of Fresh from the Hill, Inside Stories of Noteworthy Cornelians. I'm John Rawlings III, class of 2006, and the 16th president of the Cornell Black Alumni Association. If you joined us in our last episode, you heard from an amazing group of alumni leaders who have served as the president of the Cornell Black Alumni Association. Our organization is proud and excited to be celebrating 45 years of excellence this year, and those leaders indeed served with excellence. Well, as a very special treat today, we are continuing the celebration with some more alumni leaders who have served as president of the organization, and it is my honor to share this time with them today. Let me introduce them to you now. Michael Littlejohn, class of 1979, the fourth president of the association, who served from 1988 to 1990. Lisa Jones, class of 84, our fifth president, who served from 1990 to 1993. Linda Gatsby, class of 88, who served as the eighth president of the association from 1996 to 1999. Jonelle Bradshaw de Hernandez, class of 1996, our 13th president, who served from 2009 to 2012. And Anika Daniels Osaze, class of 1996, our 14th president, who served from 2012 to 2015. Welcome to all of you, and thank you for joining us on Fresh from the Hill today.
Thanks for having us.
Of course, of course. I'd also like to make sure that we acknowledge our other former presidents who were unable to join us in these conversations, but who certainly shared in the strong legacy of our organization. And they are Antoinette Robbins, class of 85, our seventh president, who served from 1995 to 1996. Cheryl Austin, class of 1983, our ninth president, who served from 1999 to 2001. And Mitzi Young, class of 77, our 12th president, who served from 2006 to 2009. Now, before we jump in, we do have a very special guest joining us today. In part one of the conversation, you heard past leaders of the association lift up one particular name, a name that is synonymous with service and leadership to Cornell. According to the university, she's a brilliant networker, a good listener, beloved connector of people, and a quintessential university citizen. And I literally could spend all day telling you all about everything that she's done for SEBA and for Cornell, but we don't have that much time today. She has been one of the most common threads through our organization over all of her many years of volunteering and of service. And she is also the 2020 recipient of the Frank H.T. Rhodes Exemplary Alumni Service Award. I'm speaking of none other than the class of 84's very own and our honorary SEBA president, Ruby Saki. Ruby, welcome and thank you for being here with us.
Thank you so much, John, for that acknowledgement. I appreciate that, those kind words.
Of course, we couldn't have this conversation without you, really couldn't. All right, so I want to start with Ruby, Anika, and Michael. I want to ask you all this question. Why did you all get involved in SEBA, and what made you want to get involved in its leadership? Now, Ruby, even though you have not served as a president of the association, you have been on the board, and again, your work really speaks for you and the trail that you blazed for a lot of us. So tell us, why did you decide to get involved with SEBA?
Thank you.
I got involved with SEBA because their goals around student recruitment, mentorship, and scholarship fundraising really resonated with me. Volunteering with SEBA allowed me to help the organization to have a greater impact in these areas. And volunteering also allowed me to work with an outstanding group of alumni leaders.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Anika, let me come to you. Talk about why you decided to get involved with SEBA and what made you want to be involved in the leadership.
Sure. Well, I knew Ruby forever. I remember applying to Cornell and she was working for En-ROADS at the time. And she had mentioned SEBA, but I didn't really get involved in SEBA until my senior year when I started working as a reunion class clerk. So during the summer, I was looking for something to do. I found out that there was a position available and they were looking for people to work specifically with SEBA for their reunion year. And when I got involved, I just realized how much fun everybody was having. You know, I'd never gone to a reunion before. I saw these people from all these different years. You know, the beauty of SEBA is that it's intergenerational. So I started meeting people from way back who can give their experience and compare it to the people who were newer into the organization and then be able to talk to them about my experience as a student. So I think just the fun of watching people mingle, getting to know each other, people who hadn't been on campus in many years, people who hadn't seen each other in so long, and the fact that it was just one big family and they embraced me as a student, that was one reason why I really wanted to be involved in SIBA.
It's so funny because someone else shared their story of how reunion was kind of their gateway into the org. Mm-hmm. It was mine as well. It's one of those common threads I think a lot of people definitely share. Thank you. Michael, what about you?
Thanks, John. You know, even though it was a long time ago, I remember this like it was yesterday. I was actually scared to death after I graduated, and I had a job. Okay. But what I was scared about was, what was I going to do with myself other than my job? I had loved my Cornell network. I lived in Ujamaa and North Campus. I moved, when I first graduated, moved back in with my folks. And the guys, the folks I grew up in that neighborhood, they were just kind of going in a different direction. And I remember stressing out over, what am I going to do with my evenings? What am I going to do with my weekends? And then a few months later, I actually ran into some folks that I had looked up to. I'm going to leave somebody's name out, but people like Jackie Davis and Dennis Williams and Sandy Black, yeah, who told me about this thing that they were starting up, you know, the Cornell Black Alumni Association. And I was like, put me down. And so, you know, I was with them from the beginning. At least went, you know, probably from around 1980 or so. And then was such a fan of it, I just decided to stick around and play a leadership role for a few years.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. Now, Linda and Jonelle, I want to come to the two of you. In your time as president, I know you both were able to do, as many have done, you know, some really incredible things and had some impactful, you know, opportunities to engage with folks. I'm sure some events, things that come to mind. So for you, what is an impactful or memorable experience that you had in your time as president? And Linda, I'm going to start with you.
Thanks, John. I'm really happy to be here. So I had big dreams when I became SIBA president. I wanted to do a couple of things. I wanted SIBA to be on the university's map, to be on the university's radar screen as an alumni organization that they needed to pay attention to. I wanted to do something that would be impactful, that would be enduring, and that would be galvanizing for the SIBA membership. Mm-hmm. And so, started brainstorming with a number of people. Ruby was a part of that crew, and decided that an impactful thing that we could do would be to impact students by helping to alleviate financial burden. We already had some Cornell Tradition scholarships at SIBA, but I thought it would be great if we could do a major fundraising effort, mm-hmm, and endow an additional scholarship. And at the time, you know, and thinking about, oh, who should we think about as sort of the catalyst for this and who would be inspiring, Dr. John Henrik Clark came to the forefront. And so it was going to be a heavy lift. We had not done anything like that in a long time. But, you know, I felt like I had a really good crew of people around me on the board and supporters like Ruby and Sandy Black was involved. And so we set out on this journey to endow this scholarship. And it was an amazing experience to work across SIBA and across generations to make that happen. And, you know, I still remember it being at the National Arts Club in New York, having, you know, Dr. Clark's wife there, having David Dinkins as our keynote speaker.
Wow.
It was amazing. We had board members, faculty, just such a wide array of Cornellians at that event. And I think it served its purpose. It did catapult us into a different level in terms of the way the university looked at us and looked at our capacity, mm-hmm, to raise funds. And to contribute to the university in that way. We've always been very active,
right?
I think, in the university, you know, the cadre of SIBA folks. But impact is comes in different ways. Mm-hmm. And we hadn't been as impactful in our philanthropy. And so that was, it was a major accomplishment. And I think everyone who was involved in that effort felt really good about it. And then when we started seeing the students, you know, get that John Henrik Clark Cornell Tradition Scholarship, we just felt really, really good about the work that we did. So that's my most memorable and my proudest achievement as SIBA president.
It's funny because I actually think in the numerous documents that I've acquired since becoming president, I think there's a program from that night in there that I was looking at. And it was one of those things where I said, I really wish at the time I could have been there. But, you know, I might not have been, I wasn't Cornell yet, you know. So, but no, that's an amazing story. Thank you so much for sharing that. Jonelle, what about you? Something impactful and memorable that you remember during your time?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here and to see all your faces today or hear your voices today. I feel like I'm picking up the baton from what Linda said, because it's the same experience that I had that was the most impactful, which was endowing a scholarship for the Turners. And I think why it was so impactful was because of the same reasons that Linda said. It was a heavy lift to do it. Because the university at the time did not feel that we would be able to raise an endowment of $250,000, which was my goal, which to them was a very high goal. It was a high goal for the Cornell Black Alumni Association. And I just felt like we got this. I mean, I have 36 months to get this done. And I had an incredible board. So Katrina James was on there, Patricia Grant was on there. And we were like, we've got this. It was so tremendously difficult that I ended up having, I think, 2 to 3 conversations with then President Davis Gorton, and I appreciate his time for that, because they wanted to do an expendable scholarship and I wanted it to live in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. And it was some strong negotiation, and you know, it was me putting my name on the line saying, I got this, we can do it as a community. And so it was such a joy. And it was also memorable because I was pregnant. I went and we were throwing a gala. So Linda's saying she's, you know, it was new life, girl. I was pregnant and we were putting this gala together and it was a bit contentious, but I was so proud that we all came together and then we created this SIBA gala in Harlem for the Turners. And it was just a perfect night. And if I could give context to that time, it was 2008 when there was an economic fallout. So there was a lot of, we can't do this as a population. And there was a lot of, we have no choice but to do this as a population. And that night, I think I had given birth 7 days before the gala. And we got there and, you know, my husband was there, my friends were there, and just Cornell just showed up. And for me in that Harlem day, I feel like that was the moment where I said, this is the legacy, it's perpetuity, it's never going away. And every time I get my scholarship report, when I see the student, they write you the letter, they tell you how impactful it is a source of pride, because multiple students have gotten that since, you know, since we were all presidents. But that was my most proud moment. And that's what I wanted to leave to SIBA. And I was proud that I was able to do that.
And both of those legacies still live on, like you said, right? Both of those scholarships still being given out very regularly. And Jonelle, when you were telling your story and then Linda was agreeing, because I think, Linda, you said you were pregnant at the time.
I was pregnant too when I attended the gala.
It literally made me think about the Beyonce lyric that says, strong enough to bear the children and then get back to business. I mean, 7 days.
7 days after. Later, baby. 7 days. And I fit in that dress.
Listen, folks, do not underestimate the power of Black women. That's all I got to tell you. All right, I'm moving on to the next question. No, but thank you both for sharing. Anika, I wanted to ask you, for our listeners who might be hearing about SIBA for the first time through these conversations, I recognize even when we were planning, what was that, 2018 reunion with all the other diverse alumni program groups, when Alumni Affairs sent out the message, there were some alum that didn't even know these organizations existed, right? As long as we've been around. So what is something that you think folks should know who are, you know, hearing about SIBO for the first time? What is something they should know about our association?
So SIBO is a network, and I think people need to recognize that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I mentioned earlier how important to me it was intergenerational, and that you're meeting people across decades. You're meeting people from all walks of life, all different parts of the country, parts of the world, and in different fields, and even from all the different schools within Cornell. So SIBO is one of those organizations where you can galvanize different groups of people and to learn different areas all in one space. So I think what people need to understand about SIBO is that you're going to get a lot from the networking if you take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. If you come to the events that SIBO has, if you reach out to people, if you communicate with them through social media. I know SIBO is really big now with LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. You know, when I was president, we didn't have all the social media mm-hmm. popping as much as it is now. You know, and now we even have this new, what is it?
Are you talking about Clubhouse?
The Clubhouse, right?
Yes.
So, you know, Clubhouse, where you can even start thinking about topics that might be of interest based on the generation you're from or just based on the industry that you're in. So I think when people start looking at what they want to do career-wise, when they're looking at what they want to do personally, when they're looking for even sponsors or coaches to help them move up in their field, or if they're even trying to figure out what they want to do with their life and find a mentor, SIBO is definitely the place that they need to consider going to. The other thing about SIBO that I think people need to know is that it was founded on the principles of trying to make sure that Black alumni felt a part of the campus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the history for Black students on campus is that we are always trying to find our niche, find out how we fit to feel like we're a part of the larger campus. And as alumni, we still wanted to have that connection with the institution. And SIBO allowed us to do that. It allowed us to still have connections with aspects of the campus that helped us graduate. UJMA, Africana, WADI, WARI, mm-hmm. you know, COSTEP, all of those institutions helped us thrive and survive. And SIBO is kind of that mold that helps keep those institutions together through the alumni support. So, you know, just like Linda and Jonelle mentioned, scholarship and the money that they brought in during their year, the money that I brought in during my year helps to keep those institutions alive, and students need to continue to utilize those institutions. The other thing is SIBO, I see it as the foundation to help move into being even larger parts of the Cornell institution. The one thing I remember doing as president was getting students to come back for homecoming, which was not something that Black alumni did. Mm-hmm. You know, Black alumni came back for SIBO reunion because everybody knew about reunion. Everybody loved it and looked forward to it every 3 years. But in between those gaps, you wouldn't see Black alumni coming back to Cornell. And, you know, it was important for me to see us as being part of the fabric of Cornell at all times, not just through our reunions, but coming back to homecoming and feeling like this was our campus as well. So I think SIBO's role is to make sure that we continue to push the envelope and make sure that the campus is inclusive, that it allows us to feel like we are one Cornell, that we're all part of the same institution, and that we all benefit from it in some way, shape, or fashion.
Absolutely. That was so beautifully put. And I think it's funny when you started talking about, you know, the intergenerational aspect of the association, which I think is so strong. We have members, and I'm literally thinking back to one of the last communications I had with a member. We've got members who graduated in the 50s all the way now through the class of 2020, right? And engaging and getting ready to welcome new members of the class of 2021 into the organization. And I think about, at least for me, when I was a student on campus, one of the best parts about being in UJMA was the fact that it wasn't just first year students. You know, we had that initiative going on, and, you know, we had the first year buildings, but I lived in UJ because I got to meet and talk to not only my classmates who were in my year, but to the seniors who had been through this experience now, for, you know, in their fourth and last year, and to get their insights on what was, you know, things I should do, things I shouldn't do, what's important, maybe what I, you know, don't go to too many parties. They didn't tell me that, but they should have. And so, you know, but I think about how that does pour into and really transfers into how we are now, even as an organization, where, you know, you can go and connect with, you know, like you said, someone in your field and someone who's been in the field for a while and has, you know, great insight for those who are just entering in, and then just really even just about life, connecting with other Black alumni around, you know, post-Cornell life and just life as a young adult. It's an amazing experience, and that network is so very strong. Thank you so much.
I was actually lucky to be able to get to know alumni even stronger, because my dissertation was to focus on trying to get students engaged on campus and Black alumni to re-engage with those students as well, and to look at what would encourage alumni to come back if they haven't come back. What would encourage them to give money if they weren't giving money? And, you know, part of my dissertation included calling and doing surveys and speaking to people from the 50s way to, at that time, 2010, and finding out about what their experiences were like and what to do to enhance those experiences. So I think having that opportunity and to be able to work with them even made my experience with CEBA that much stronger, and made me realize how much more work we need to do to make sure the students that are currently on campus get that same feeling and have those same connections.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. Let's see, Jonelle, Linda, and Lisa, I'm coming to you all. So we've hit this milestone, right? We're at our 45th anniversary, which is a milestone that many haven't necessarily met yet. I talked about this in the last episode, but, you know, throughout my time as president, and I'm sure for all of you throughout your times, I've had other institutions and other groups reaching out to say, hey, we're trying to establish a Black Alumni Association, or even those conversations where we have a group, but, you know, it's not necessarily working how we want it to, and we see what you all are doing as a model. Can you give us some tips, some insight, help us out? This is a milestone that must be celebrated. For the three of you, what is your hope for the organization in the next 45 years? So, Jonelle, I'm going to come to you first.
Well, I think one of my greatest hopes for the next 45 years is longevity. So I hope we get to that point. An opportunity to continue to be inclusive of the whole Black experience. I think that is important. The world has changed completely since I've been in a leadership role. And I want the Cornell Black Alumni Association to continue to celebrate the history, the platform of what they were able to bring, the protection that they were able to bring to so many of us, including myself at times. But I want them to continue to grow with the changes that the world is happening, the interplanetary world is happening, and support the student body and support the alumni in all aspects. I don't think it's a 4-year situation, right? I think once you've experienced CEBA and you've had an experience, I believe that you're a Black alumni for life. It's not going anywhere. And that's what I hope for CEBA. I hope the longevity stands. I hope the support stands. I hope the protection stands. And I hope the inclusivity stands.
Absolutely. Thank you. Linda, what about you?
Wow. So to add to what Jonelle said, in the next 45 years, I would like to see us increase our connection with and impact on Black faculty on campus. I think that's an area of opportunity for us. Always want to continue the connection with students. And to continue on the theme that Jonelle and I had, I think, you know, in a little bit, it'll be time to do some more fundraising with some additional endowed scholarships for students. And so I hope we continue to do that on some regular period, because, you know, the need is only going to increase. And as the university focuses on expanding the student body to include more socioeconomic diversity, I think it's going to be even more important to help the students who have the opportunity to attend like we did to alleviate some of that financial burden. But going back to the faculty, I do think that we might have some opportunities over these next 45 years where we can really strengthen that connection and help them. You know, we have junior faculty of color at Cornell, and wouldn't it be great if we could establish a grant program for them where we are helping to fund some of their early research so that maybe they could then attract bigger NSF or NIH grants to propel them on their tenure track journey. I would like us to start thinking in that way and establishing those connections. And I think the other thing that I would like is I would like for students to feel like they are sort of adjunct members of CIBA from the time they get on campus,
mm-hmm.
right? So we've done some of that work already. And I think, you know, I wasn't really connected to CIBA when I was a student. I think students now are more connected to CIBA and know more about it during the time that they're on campus. But I think there's more that we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would love to see, you know, basically when students get on campus, you know, CIBA is a presence and they know about CIBA and have that connection over the 4 years so that it is more seamless when they graduate and they just, you know, get to work for CIBA once they graduate. So that's what I'd like to see.
Absolutely. I was actually really happy because you mentioned it. I was happy a couple of weeks ago. I got an email from a student who introduced herself as a junior and a proud member of CIBA. I said, that's what I'm talking about, right? As a junior. And you're right. As someone else who didn't have the CIBA experience, who only found out about CIBA, 2 weeks after I graduated when I was on campus and saw a reunion and said, what are all these Black people doing in Ujamaa on a Saturday night? I love the fact that students are taking a hold to that. And of course, like you said, we can be doing more. So I hope we will. Lisa, what about your hopes for the next 45 years of our organization?
Yeah, thank you so much, John. And thank you for inviting me to participate in this panel with my illustrious past presidents. So my hope for the university, actually my hope for the organization is to continue to be a vehicle to provide the university with, you know, to hear our platform, to hear our views, to hear our history, to hear our needs. I think that being 45 years old and the fact that we will be another 45 years, we have kind of set the stage for other organizations like ours to be that mouthpiece. You know, I think the university does tap us maybe even more frequently than other organizations like ours to kind of share, you know, our views, and we're out here in the world and we can bring so much back to the university. So that's one of my hopes that we continue to be a mouthpiece. The other hope that I have is that CIBA continues to be a network for Black students and alum. I'm not sure what my life would be like without Cornell. And I'd like to share that. And I hope that CIBA can share that with prospective students, with current students, and with alum. And lastly, I hope that CIBA can continue to be an ambassador to our communities. So CIBA and members of CIBA go out to, you know, the neighborhoods in Brooklyn, the neighborhoods in Compton, you know, and say, you too can be a Cornellian. And this is what it's like. And we're here to support you. So those are some of my hopes. And just to piggyback on, you know, what others have said, I mean, CIBA is really it's my foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that it's a foundation for others. And I want to share that and hope that I have that opportunity in the future as well.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think a lot of people see it as the foundation, right? See it as the group that you come back to and where you can recharge and you know, get some inspiration, some good energy, some great vibes from your family, from your community. Thank you, Lisa, for sharing that. Michael and Ruby, as we start to wind down on this particular episode, what are some words you would leave for our current members, as well as the students that really are the present and the future of Cornell and of CIBA? So, Michael, I'll come to you first.
Thanks, John. So I'm a baseball fan, Johnny. Just give me a little latitude here. Okay? and those of you who are baseball fans or watch baseball, you've seen the recent commercial where with the James Earl Jones monologue from Field of Dreams. Now, it's a great movie, great baseball movie. And in that monologue, he talks about that you know, while everything else in America has changed over the past 100 years, you know, baseball has remained this steady, consistent presence. I mean, it's really a beautiful monologue. And if you haven't seen the commercial, Google James L. Jones, Field of Dreams. And I think of SIBA the same way. And while I've taken a break from active involvement for many years, and as a side, for many of us, you know, life tends to get in the way. It gets in the way. Some people are very consistent, and they've been involved in the organization for 40 years, and some of us are just, life gets in the way. But in that time I've been away, I have remained a follower, an admirer, and an interested party, if you will. And so I've seen, you know, over the decades that SIBA has been a consistent force and a consistent voice. And it's, I guess the message is, it's never too early or too late to be a part of it.
Absolutely. That is the truth. Thank you so much for that. Ruby, your words that you would leave for our current members and then the students who are our future.
Thank you. I would say to current members, please get involved with SIBA and help the organization execute on, expand upon their current goals and initiatives for alumni and students. And students, SIBA is a tremendous network and resource. Connect with SIBA, stay engaged with alumni for advice and guidance on your academic, career, and personal goals. And when you become an alum, I hope you'll stay engaged with the organization and help it to grow and prosper. And let me just say this. Thank you to all the people who've been involved with SIBA over the years. Unsung heroes who you may never hear their names, but who've done a phenomenal job and continue to be involved. I co-chair one of the CAN committees in New York City, and we had over 130 members at one point, the special outreach committee that I was co-chairing at Karen Stewart a while back. But just want to thank, you know, there's so many alumni who've been involved in various efforts and initiatives and support SIBA, come out to reunion, then we need your continued support and encourage other people, hopefully, to get involved and engage. Just, again, just so many areas to get involved in and support the initiatives of the organization.
Absolutely. I think, you know, to kind of piggyback off of that, our students are starting to see that more and more, you know, as we continue to engage with them. Anika, you know, you talked about the fact that, you know, we're getting people to come back for homecoming, which some people still don't believe is actually a thing. Trust me, folks, it is. And so
I have to tell you, when I posted the pictures on Facebook and on Instagram and all the videos, somebody actually said, which HBCU is that? And I was so proud. And I was like, oh, you think it's that many black people?
Right.
So
right.
To get all the black people back to Cornell, that was definitely a great time.
That is literally what people post every time I post a homecoming picture. They do. And even my friends who wish HBCUs are saying, which campus did you go to? I'm at my campus, Cornell, folks. But I think, you know, students start to see us there a little bit more. And then even when we did the engagement summit this past January, and we had the student leadership panel, right? These students were sharing some of their experiences with us. Many of the messages I was getting after that was they didn't, you know, some of them, of course, they'd heard of SIBA and they knew SIBA through myself and through some of our board and even some of you all, but they didn't realize how big the network is based off of what they even saw on that particular Zoom, right? And so to think about, I know, you know, I think all of us are, our hearts are a little heavy that we can't do reunion this year, you know, in person together. That just means 2024 is going to take off completely. And Cornell's going to have to figure out how do they host the thousands of black folks that are coming back for SIBA reunion, right? But that to understand what kind of network you are a part of and the family you are coming into, to have this shared experience with so many individuals that look like you and who are there to support you and to love on you, it is top notch. And I appreciate you both sharing. And so I'm going to ask, Linda, I see your hand. Go for it.
I just wanted to share one more thing, and it's a piggyback off of Michael's sort of foundational and enduring concept. It is just, I want students to know what a fantastic leadership development opportunity it is to participate in SIBA.
Yes.
You know, as a member, you will get to see fantastic leaders do their thing and learn from them. And so it's sort of a continuation of what many of us did on campus in terms of our activism. But I will say, you know, I really credit SIBA with starting me on my journey to becoming a trustee. It was foundational for me. Mm-hmm. And I developed a lot of the leadership skills that I have taken with me to other opportunities at Cornell and outside of Cornell, quite frankly, I attribute it to SIBA. And so, you know, I don't know that I would be a Cornell trustee today if I hadn't been as involved with SIBA and SIBA president for those 3 years. So I also want students to think about that.
Absolutely. Lisa?
I just wanted to mention and to piggyback on what Linda said. I think that SIBA provides a safe space for us to develop skills that we may not even thought we had. You know, so, you know, just, you know, a safe space to be a leader, to be tapped as a leader. In some environments that we're in, we don't get tapped. So we don't have the opportunity to shine. So SIBA is a place, a safe place for us to develop those skills. And where do those skills take us beyond SIBA, you know, into the work world, into our community. So it's really a place where you can flex and where people truly have your back. And it may be a place where you didn't even know you had that as a calling. And SIBA folks saw that in you and they helped nurture that. So it's really transformational in that regard. And the people that you're surrounded with see that in you and help you to build that.
Absolutely. And I think about, and I have to shout you out, Anika, because I still remember driving. I was just left work in Baltimore. I think I was headed to class at Johns Hopkins. And you called me and asked me if I would consider running for the board. And I think it was VP of membership. And I said, nope, I got too much going on. I am not interested at the time. I think at the time I helped out with a reunion once or twice. And I said, I'm comfortable there. And literally a year later, I was being appointed to the board as the vice president of programming, you know.
You can't say no to me.
Right? I know. And that was the thing, right? It wasn't in my mind. I didn't necessarily see it at the time, or, you know, I was thinking, well, maybe, you know, I don't have enough time to give, but it was that encouragement from you and from others and Michelle, you know, who really helped me to see like, okay, you know, yes, there's something there that I know I can give to the organization and to the community. And so why not? And, you know, clearly did not expect to be sitting in this seat at this point as the president. But it's been an amazing journey. And I thank you all and the group before and then those who couldn't join us for literally setting that path that gets us here, that gets us to 45 and that allows me to serve in this capacity. I appreciate all of you for that.
And you've done a phenomenal job as president. Well, you know, I've seen all of the things you've done to elevate SIBA, to move us into the new virtual world that we're in, and to keep people engaged, even though we can't physically be where we used to be. So you've done a phenomenal job.
Well, I appreciate that. I do.
Can I say one thing, John? Of course, I should have said this earlier. I just would say that when I joined SIBA, I met all of the alums and many of them from the class of 70s, mm-hmm. founders and leaders, et cetera. And they really nurtured me over time. And I had the wonderful experience of working with so many of them and on the start of the SIBA scholarship. So remiss if I didn't mention that with Eunice Jackson, class of 74, and lots of folks. And it was just a phenomenal experience. And I've had so many wonderful experiences working on reunion planning to nominating committee to scholarship. Again, fundraising, recruitment. So it has been a wonderful journey.
That was good. No, I appreciate that. So as we wrap up, I would ask each of you to find one word that you would use to describe SIBA. And actually, Michael, I'm going to start with you.
I'm going to draw on my experience from when I was frightened and trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my free time after I graduated. I would say comfort. Comfort is the word I would use.
I love that. Janelle?
Power.
Mm, absolutely. Linda?
Family.
That's always a good one. Lisa?
That was mine too, Linda, so I have to choose a different one. Two words, lifelong friends, but family was mine as well.
Very true. Anika?
Support. Couldn't do it without SIBA.
That's right. And our honorary president, the great Ruby.
Network.
Absolutely. Yes. No, absolutely. Again, I am over the moon that you all are here on this Zoom participating in this conversation. So I want to thank all of you for not only being a part of this today, but again, you are all very much a part of the legacy of this organization, and the things that you have done have blazed a trail for us to continue to do great things for the next 45 years ahead and even beyond. So I want to say to each and every one of you, thank you. And I want to thank all of you who have joined us today in listening. Be sure to like, rate, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find out more about Young Alumni programs and how to get involved at alumni.cornell.edu/youngalumni and by following the Facebook page at Young Alumni Programs. You can also learn more about the Cornell Black Alumni Association at cbaa1976.com and follow us on all social media platforms at cbaa1976. Music from Fresh from the Hill was written, produced, and recorded by Kia Albertson Rogers, class of 2013, and you can contact him at koa3@cornell.edu. If you have any ideas for the podcast you would like to share, please email our outstanding producer, Amanda Massa, at amanda.massa, that's M-A-S-S-A, at cornell.edu. Again, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.